Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to this Project Love podcast. We're going back to our roots.
Yay,
with the podcast.
We're back together.
We realised it had been a few months since we had done one together.
Yeah.
And so we are going back to our roots, back when Project Love really began, when we used to record podcasts together every other week. And we wanted to start off a regular format again, where we're coming back together and talking about topics, interesting topics, and also getting you guys involved in the conversation, because community is such a key aspect of Project Love and we really want to get you involved, whether it's leaving us a question to inform a future podcast, a question that you'd like answered, or just leaving us a comment and something for us to be thinking about as we plan our future kind of content plan.
Yeah, because that's always us at our happiest, when we have our community involved and making you part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And it's been going very well for this friendship topic, actually. So we've posted up. Do come and follow us if you're not already on Instagram, because we will start having those conversations on there and we'll be posting sort of a few days before each episode to let you know what the topic's going to be and inviting you to get the conversation started. So we posted on Instagram, but we also posted in the Love Zone, which is the private online community for our Get Ready for Love course. And we got so much juicy stuff back on the topic of friendship. So today we're going to be having a look at the power of friendship, and particularly friendship between women and the impact that has on our health and our happiness. We're also going to be looking at what can cause friendships to break up and how to handle that, and also how to avoid it. And we're going to be looking at how to do the breaking up when you don't feel a relationship is healthy for you. And finally, and this is a big topic actually, how to make new friends and why it's healthy to make new friends throughout your life and not just when they all seem to have left the country or they all seem to be settling down and having babies. So there's actually lots of evidence that relationships between women has a huge impact on our health and our happiness. And there's sort of suggestions that it's because back in the day when we were hunter-gatherers, how much of our survival depended on having that strong bond between women, and women and men and men, I suppose, but in different ways. But actually today there's lots of research that suggests that, for example, there was a study done of women who were suffering from breast cancer, and it was the women who had a close, tight-knit group of friends that their recovery was much faster because they had that support and because they had that sort of, you know, that environment that fosters healing, I think. There's apparently it boosts your immunity. There's like loads of evidence of actually the health implications of having that strong sisterhood. And I do think it's different. I spent many years being the kind of girl that just had male friends. And you can definitely, you know, I did have really good friendships and, you know, supporting one another and all the rest. But there's something special about sisterhood.
Yeah.
And about having not just friendship with one other woman, but friendship with a group and a kind of mutual atmosphere of support. I think that's really important. I think it is something that if you don't have it, you can go out and find it. I think that there are more and more women embracing that kind of sisterhood vibe. I think female friendships always get quite a bad reputation, particularly in media and particularly in films. There are not a lot of narratives of women, there are not a lot of representations of film and TV of sisterhood relationships between women. It's far more likely that you see sort of jealousy and
bitchiness. Like Mean Girls, yeah, and films like that.
But I think there's a really strong movement rising up where sisterhood is being embraced, and I think a lot of people are out there ready for that.
I think what's so unique about female friendships is the shared vulnerability that you have with someone who just knows you so intimately, and that you can just be really seen, known and understood by another woman. And that's what makes them so unique, that really kind of being seen and heard. And you know, when someone knows you so well and they can really, you know, they're like a mirror, and I think relationships are like mirrors where they really kind of show you sometimes what you can't see yourself, and make you aware of, you know, your blind spots and ways that you can learn and grow. as well as being a constant source of support and fun and joy and just everything. I feel like, you know, especially certain friends that have just seen kind of you grow, like, over the years, and they've seen it all.
They're your chosen sisters.
Yeah.
You know, it does feel as strong as family.
Yeah.
But it's the willingness and the need, I think, for us to be vulnerable in order to connect.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested, actually, whether men need that and don't give it to themselves in today's kind of context of brotherhood, I suppose, or whether actually women do need that more than men. I think, you know, I definitely, the men that I'm close to and that I know, I think they need it, but in smaller doses, whereas I need it on a regular basis. I think it also depends on your personality, but it does tend to be a female trait, because there is actually evidence that when women are in times of stress, that rather than the fight or flight response, which previously we thought everyone responded in the same way, that actually tends to be more the male way of responding. That doesn't mean all men respond that way and that women don't, but that tends to be the male way of responding. The female way is to tend and befriend.
I love that.
Yeah, and so that's why I think that sisterhood is so important, because in times of stress, we actually need it to help us through that time of stress, whereas men perhaps fight or flight. That's their response. There's no need for a friend in any of that. But maybe actually men do need a bit more of that, and we're just not allowing it in our narrative of what, you know, men need at the moment. Talking of narratives, there's something that's really interesting that came out of from the Love Zone when we were having this conversation in preparation for this podcast. A lot of people were mentioning their frustration at the hierarchy of relationships in our society. And it's not actually something that I experience, but I totally get it. But I was like, oh yeah, there is this whole thing. So they were saying that the hierarchy being that, you know, partner comes first, family, children, and then friends. And that's why so often when someone, you know, suddenly gets together with someone, settles down, has a child, their friends feel the fallout, and they're just like, I've now been relegated down that hierarchy to like the lowest rung, which is not the way I operate. But it's interesting that to recognize actually that is a lot of the way that, first of all, that people operate, which I think they're missing out every bit as much as the friends that they're dropping to the bottom rung. But also, how much is it a social narrative that actually we need to take a look at and go, it doesn't have to be this way. Because I think so often with social norms, you just fall into it because that's just how things are, particularly if you don't question the status quo much and you kind of just go along with what is the norm, whatever that is, but the perceived norm and the status quo, that then you almost go, well, now I'm with a partner. We spend all our time, the two of us, going out with other couples. We don't do the stuff that we used to do when we were single. And friends now are less of a priority. I think people can slip into that unquestioningly, which is just, it's crazy, because there's, you know, now we've just been talking about the power and the importance of sisterhood. For women to think that that's what you do, that your partner should suddenly become like your best friend and your everything, and then occasionally you might catch up for, you know, a chat and a glass of wine with a girlfriend, you're missing out so much on the depth of relationship that you need to thrive in life. So I think it's something that, but I'm definitely, it was so interesting to hear how many people were experiencing that and being therefore at the bottom rung in this hierarchy because they're single. And their friends are getting into relationships and suddenly here they are. And that, you know, hierarchy is very much alive and alive and kicking.
And there's an article that someone in the Love Zone actually shared, and it was referencing us living in a world that's built for couples. It's from the perspective of a single woman, and how society is telling us that we should settle down and have kids by the time we're, what, in our mid-30s, and that's how life should be. And it is easy to get stuck into that kind of way of thinking, that that's the way it is, that life looks like this. And if you're not adhering to these particular norms, then there's something wrong with you. But then, you know, someone also actually commented in the Love Zone that there isn't one way of living your life. You know, that's not the only way of living your life. It's not this linear journey of like ticking off these boxes,
which then creates that hierarchy.
Yeah.
And then also values relationships in that hierarchy. I mean, hierarchies is never a good idea. book of Selena under Not Very Good Ideas, any form of hierarchy. And I suppose it was really interesting because thinking about that made forced me to have a look at, okay, so how would I then say I view my friendships, my relationship, my son, my relationship, my partner, my relationship, my family. And in everything, I always look at flat structure for me is the way to do things. It's the way of equality. It's the way of things working well in your own life, in the world.
Yeah.
A very simplistic view of it, but I'm just going to stick with it. But, you know, and so because I value, it's in the same way as we say when it comes to life design, it's about making you and your happiness and your well-being a top priority. There's no hierarchy in that. It doesn't mean now I'm making myself a priority, everything else gets knocked down a rung. It means there's a flat structure where your happiness and well-being is a priority. So are your friendships, so is your family, so is your partner, so are your children, so is your work, so is your health, so is your hobbies, all of these things. And once you go, these are the things I want to have in my life, these are the things that are important to me, you then allocate time to them. And like you design a life that has space for these. Now, if you suddenly have a demanding job or you suddenly become a mum or you suddenly move country, then certain friendships that you might have seen day in, day out, or just moved to the other side of London, sometimes is all it takes, you're not going to be able to see everyone, the same people, necessarily the same amount. But you can still have the quality time that creates that connection, that allows for that connection and allows for that bonding to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of a hierarchy, I mean, I just think if you find yourself, and I think that the people who might consider themselves to be, you know, top of that hierarchy, they're in a relationship, they've had a baby, they've got a family, and suddenly those things are all important. If they are living life from that hierarchy where friends are right down at the bottom, God knows where they are on their list, they're probably underneath that, they're not going to be happy either. So the friends are missing out, but probably not as much as the person that's relegated their friends to sort of bottom rung, because that's perhaps maybe one of the reasons why you find so many new mothers are said to be feeling very isolated and not feeling like they have the support that they need, because, you know, everyone assumes they're all busy with their little newborn baby and having a lovely time cuddling the baby while actually they're tearing their hair out and at home going stir crazy. And they think their friends are off gallivanting, having a wonderful time and having drinks after work and living this wonderful single life, where actually they're at home missing their friend that's now gone and had a baby. And it's just like, would you guys please just communicate? Recognize that everyone seems to be quite lonely and feeling isolated. And it's just like, make time for each other. It could be you see each other once every 2 months to start with. You know, with life changes, friendships need to be able to adapt and to evolve, and there's an ebb and flow to them. You've had really close friends for how many years? Your best friends that you have today?
Yeah, so there was one friend who I met at school, so our friendship spans 20 years now. It's ebbed and flowed over those years, and she was there for me during a really hard time in my life, in my early 20s, and has witnessed it all, basically. She's witnessed, you know, my growth over the years. She's witnessed many fashion faux pas over the years. And she was, you know, the maid of honour at my wedding, and, you know, such an important woman in my life, a woman in the wings for me, has supported me through ups and downs. And it's just been there. And even when, you know, at university and we had different groups of friends, we were there at the same place, but we were at different universities and had different groups of friends, and we'd see each other, you know, when we were out and about, but it just wasn't, we didn't have that closeness for those few years. But even with those kind of ebbs and flows, it's just always, we've always returned to each other. And I feel like the depth, especially in the last few years, as we've been growing as individuals, the depth of that friendship is deeper and richer than it's ever been before. And because I'm nurturing that friendship more than ever as well, I think, you know, in the past I've been, you know, had tendencies of getting too busy and filling up my time with work and other things, and not being, you know, available or as available as I am now to, you know, my friends. And that coincides really with self-love, I think, for me. When I became more available to myself, I was more available to my friends and in their life as well. And then my relationship with myself has deepened as my relationships with my friends has deepened as well.
That's interesting. That there's a real correlation between self-love and nurturing your relationship with yourself and nurturing relationship with others, actually.
Yeah.
You know, self-care and romantic relationships and the health of romantic relationships is super linked. It does make sense that it's all tied in together. What do you do if you do find yourself suddenly, and this did happen to me actually at some point, a whole bunch of my friends moved country. Don't think because of me. Certainly hope not. But they did, and they moved country. And I come out of a relationship and I was single and I kind of looked around and went, where the hell have they all gone? I mean, they've all gone. You know, and this, we often hear this happening again for women who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s and find themselves single and with their friends all settling down, and particularly if those friends are moving into that dreadful hierarchy. But I think it's something that, first of all, to recognise it's really common. To find yourself with more and more people settling down and fewer people to just go out with on a whim or go out on a weeknight, things like that. But I think it's a wonderful opportunity to meet new people and go out there and make new friends. Mm-hmm. The friends I've got today that I'm closest to, most of them, and that I see on a regular basis, most of them I met in my 30s. Mm. So I do have friends from school and I do have friends from university, but most of them I met in my 30s. And I think that actually I don't ever want to stop making new friends. For me, when I make friends, it expands my world. It expands my worldview. It deepens my empathy. It helps me to see the world in different ways and to experience connections. Every person is unique. So every connection is unique. You learn from every new relationship, even if it's a short-lived one or you just see them like, I've got people I have a strong connection with and I probably see them once or twice a year. And I've never actually seen them more than that. But, you know, you meet them at a party and you're like, oh, my God, it's you. And you've got that connection. Mm. And I think that's amazing. But let's have a little talk about different ways that you can go and make new friends. Because Bumble are really into this, aren't they?
Yeah, so Bumble released BFF. I think they released it last year. And in the first week of launch, it had 2 million swipes.
Wow.
Which just shows how much women are craving this connection and friendship from other women. And there's also an app in the US called Hey Vena. They may have actually expanded here now, known as the Tinder for friendships. And so dating apps are now beginning to realize that it's not just dating to meet a future partner, it's dating to meet new people.
Yeah.
Dating to make connections. And Bumble also have a Bumble Biz as well to make new business connections as well. So really recognizing that we want to find a way to connect with other people. And there's a quote that we love and it goes, bring romance into friendships and friendship into romantic relationships.
Oh my God, I love that quote.
It's so good, isn't it?
Gonna pop it on an Instagram quote tomorrow.
Well, we had it. We're already on it. We could pop it up again soon.
I might do.
And you know, it's really encouraging to see that dating apps are seeing it like that. That it's about that equality of relationships in your life. It's not just prioritizing the partner and finding a partner in life. It's actually, you know, making friends is as important as finding a partner.
I mean, the idea that your partner should give you everything that you need is, I mean, good luck with that. Because if I was relying on my partner to give me everything, and sometimes I do when I'm really stressed and I think he should be giving me everything that I need, and he's just like, I'm calling a friend. One of your friends. Yeah. I need help. I need sort of...
Yeah. It's one of those ones that's easy to forget, and then I feel like sometimes I go too much into that territory, and then I'm like, I need to scale back. I'll just call a friend and talk about this with them.
And my friends know what I need when in times of stress far better than my partner. And he may get there. We may eventually get him to understand. But it's almost just like managing your expectations of that, which actually brings me to managing your expectations with friends, which is another really interesting one. I think that sometimes, you know, and this again came up in the chat about it in the Love Zone, but about recognising you need to manage your expectations of your friends, that just as your partner can't be everything to you, you can't, I would say, you can't just have one friend that is going to be everything to you.
Yeah.
You're going to have some friends who are really fun on a night out, who really bring the party, but they might not also be the friend that in a time of need is the one to call that's on the end of the phone. Mm-hmm. Or you might have just some friends often are, but on a particular occasion, they're not, because they've got their own stuff going on and they don't actually have the capacity to deal with whatever, what's ever going, you know, is going on for you. And I think, you know, that you do always have, I think, friends who are more takers than givers, or those people certainly can come into your life. And it's recognizing, well, either you recognize that that's just, that is how they operate, and you accept that and you enjoy the relationship for what you can, while putting down firm boundaries and not letting them think that they can take from you all the time. Or you might decide you just don't want to be around a person like that, and that, and we'll come on to that, how do you do the breaking up? But I think when you recognize that someone is doing a lot of taking, and this ties in with actually what do you do when you realize that a relationship isn't that healthy for you? What do you do about that? Because sometimes you can just walk away. Sometimes it's like, if this person makes you feel bad and is saying it's basically your shitty committee in a friendship, then don't be friends with that person. Like, that doesn't sound like a nice person. If they are generally a taker and don't give a lot back, then it's about putting down boundaries. Don't be the person that always says yes to them. And I think I remember a friend of mine describing it as, with friends, it's like, you know, you have boats all tied up with ropes, and like, those are your friendships, and sometimes you have to take one of them and just really let it out. Just let it way back there, but still keep it tied. Or sometimes you just need to cut that rope and just, you know, chuck it into the water and be done with it. But most of the time, I think, you know, to allow that, sometimes some friends, you're just like, oh, I don't know where they're at the moment, but it's just going to let you out, and just with love. Don't necessarily have to have a conversation with them about it. Or you do, or sometimes it's time to confront someone and say, look, our relationship's really important to me, but I'm just finding whatever behaviour it is just really hard. And I'm not always one to rush in and have a conversation. Sometimes I'm like, just leave it and, you know, come back to them later. But
I think sometimes it's an invitation, especially when, you know, it's a friend that takes, sometimes it's an invitation to look at where you're not asking for your needs as well. And I've definitely recognized this in myself, where I've felt like maybe I'm not getting as much out of a friendship as the other person is. And when I've looked further along the process, when I've looked at my own, you know, where I'm lacking, it might be that I'm not actually asking that friend for my needs too much. So they might not know that I have these needs, because I'm not vocalizing them. Because some people, you know, vocalize these things. Some people just expect that friend to know. And that friend isn't a mind reader as well. So sometimes it's an invitation to ask that friend and say, I've been feeling like this. You know, what I'd really need is this. Are you available? Are you around to, you know, to give me what I need as well? And they might think, they might not realize, you know, how it has been one-sided. And of course they'll be there for you. And sometimes they might just not. And they might just not be able to, you know, be available for you as that friend in that moment, depending on what's going on for them, or depending on their capacity as a friend.
They might, I mean, because they could turn around and say, I'm so sorry, but listen, this is what's been going on for me. And actually, I just don't have, I wish I had the energy to be giving you what you need right now, but I just don't. And I love you, and I really want us to carry on being friends, and I love our relationship and our friendship, but that's, I just haven't got what you, I can't give what you need right now.
Yeah.
At least then there's an honest conversation. I think that's how friendships can grow. So I think that communication, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because there's lots of talk, I think, about romantic relationships and, you know, communication is key, and how to have those conversations about having your needs met. And I think sometimes that's also important in friendships. Although I'm wary of friendships blurring with the line of relationships. Even if it's a very platonic friendship, it can, this has definitely happened, particularly when I was single, those close relationships almost become like
a partner.
Like a partner, in terms of your expectation of the needs that they must meet of yours. And if, you know, why haven't you answered my text today? And it's just like, because I was busy. And it's like, because I'm not, you know, my existence isn't to be constantly, you know, being there for you. Not saying that it should also be that in a romantic relationship, but I think, yeah, that's an interesting one, actually, of those boundaries. But I think, you know, friendship is every bit as complex as romantic relationships. Every bit is important. Every bit is important to create time for them, create quality time for them, to work on them. What was interesting, actually, in both the chat on Instagram and in the Love Zone was about the number of people who talked about friendship breakup.
Yeah.
And how painful that can be, and also how we don't get given the same sympathy for friendship breakups we do. And it's so true, but it's just it can be really painful. It's still rejection. It's still loss. It's still heartbreak. It's still grief. Yeah. It's still really, you know,
primal.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people have experienced that at some point.
I think sometimes naturally friendships do tend to fade, and you know, as you kind of grow older, I've definitely experienced that, where we've just grown apart, and it's not like anything's really happened, it's just maybe we've got different interests now, and our lives maybe are not as compatible as they were before. And sometimes it's just accepting that you're just in different spaces, and maybe you could come back one day, but maybe not, and just kind of letting that friend go.
That's an interesting one, actually. Do you think that most friendships do revolve around a common interest, whether that's partying, golf? I don't know what I thought, golf! I have no golfing friends. I don't like golf, but you never know. But do you know what I mean? Like, or a sport or an activity, or a love for being creative, or a love, or maybe, you know, your kind of common interest is a way you approach life.
Yeah. And I think the common interest can be each other, that you've got a past. Maybe you connect over the past. And I think it depends on what type of role they're playing in your life, because it could be a friend, like you say, you know, you might hear from them once every few years, and it's amazing. Mm. You have the best catch-up, and you connect over the past. It's incredibly nostalgic to connect with that friend. And there are other friends that are just in your life because you go to the same places, you love the same music, and you go to the same parties. And so it's easy to just connect with them regularly, and you see them frequently.
I think it's a shame, though, because maybe that's why when people go from having their life without children to then having their life with children, if for them friendships revolve around those points of interest. If they've had friends, they go out for dinner, and they have, you know, after work, they go for a drink, or they go partying or whatever. And then they have children, and suddenly they're all friends with their NCT group. For those that aren't from England, it's like a pre having a baby group, and then you hang out with them afterwards, which I didn't. But a lot of people, that's where they meet then their friends as they're raising their children. And I think there's an importance in that. I think that's sometimes where a bit of upset comes from the old friends. They're like, now you're hanging out with your mum friends all the time. It's not actually something that I felt the need for. I was quite different, I think, in that when I, perhaps because it was not planned, but when I had a baby, I moved to the epicentre of where my friends were so that I could be even closer to my friends rather than moving away from them. But I think other mums probably need that connecting with other mums. I mean, I had a very close friend who'd had two kids. They were now teenagers. So she knew what I was going through, and she got it. And so I felt understood by her. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps just having that one person meant that I didn't need those. And I had a couple of WhatsApp groups with friends who were having kids at the same time. I was like, that's enough. that's enough for me. I also just want to hang out with the ones without children, because I like the conversations I'm having there as well. So I think, but it's just having an understanding. If your friend is becoming a parent for the first time, and suddenly they're spending time with all these new parent friends, it's not because they're abandoning you, it's because they need that, because this is a really scary new journey, and they need people who understand that. And maybe the friends without children will perfectly understand that, and they should give them a chance, but actually maybe they won't. But I think that I just wish there was more communication between those friends for each to explain their feelings around it, because just because your friends had a child doesn't mean that they can't hear you go, I miss you, can I take you out for lunch or dinner, or come around and cook for you and, you know, have a moment, or can you just get, you know, someone else to look after the baby for 2 hours so you and I can have our time, because they'll want that just as much. They'll need that, you know, because I think a lot of mums feel like they lose their identity because their world changes so much. So they need you too.
Totally. I think it highlights the importance of asking as well and talking about it, because otherwise if you just stay quiet and you're silently feeling sad and neglected on either side,
on both sides,
and never talking about it, then as you were saying before, you could, you know, easily just assume that your friend with kids is having one kind
of
experience.
Having a wonderful time with them, cuddling their baby, and they, you know, their life is now full as a mother. In fact, they're like crying on the bathroom floor with pregnancy hormones rushing through, and they haven't slept for days, and their boobs hurt. And it's like, this is not the Pampers ad that I was signed up for.
It's not what I imagined.
And they're imagining all their sort of friends without children off having this wonderful life of freedom. You can do whatever you want and living vicariously for your single friends who are off having wonderful romantic liaisons and life is passionate and free, and they're like at home missing their friend. It's really important that we don't just make assumptions and that we communicate more in all relationships, but that definitely extends to friendships. I feel like I want to just get all these friends together back together, let's all get you in a big room and speak to one another again. And
so if you are wanting to find new friends, if you know, some of this is really resonating with you and you really want to get out there and connect with other like-minded people, our advice would be the same as we would give to someone looking for love, someone looking for a partner. It's to say yes to opportunities and get out there and meet people. Join classes, join clubs, check out meetup.com, Eventbrite, and go to things that... go to talks or get involved in activities that they've got on there.
And there are all sorts of things like supper clubs where around particular conversations or someone was saying in the Love Zone was saying about they moved back to the village that they came from after years of being away, and they joined the local orchestra. And someone else and they said, well, actually, you know, also, you know, choirs and things like that, if you like music, there's a real, then everyone goes for, you know, to the pub afterwards. And so just also group activities, basically. And if you love sports, do, you know, go to sports clubs, or, you know, learn to do a new sport where you're going to meet people. And sometimes you'll go and you won't meet someone, but, you know, you just got to keep, just like dating.
Yeah.
Dating for friends.
Yeah.
And you got to keep at it. And actually, do you know what's interesting? A friend of ours was talking about how she's moved country, and so she's looking for friends. And she said she used the exercises from Get Ready for Love about getting into the right headspace, getting to the right vibe when it comes to online dating. And she got, and she wasn't really meeting people. No one was answering her message. So she went back to it. It was like, right, I'll do what Vicky says. I'm going to get into like friends vibe or whatever it is, rather than datey vibe, friends vibe. And she got onto this, I think it was on an app, wasn't it?
It was Bumble BFF.
There you go. And then she kind of, what did she say? That she sort of sat down and...
Yeah, she realised that her profile was really flirty. And she was like, I need to maybe make it more friendly. So she changed what she'd written. She changed her approach. And she got friend dates. She got two friend dates.
Yeah. And she was, really excited about it. And there's a real vulnerability to that as well.
Yeah. It's the same as dating.
Yeah. It is finding love. Finding love in, you know, amongst other people in through friendship. Looking up at the world and smiling. You know, just like being open to meeting new people.
Yeah.
And, inviting love in all sorts of shapes and forms and being open to what that looks like as well. I think it's great to sort of make friends with people that, you know, outside of your usual circle. You know, one of the things my brother does is go to an old people's home and goes and chats to old people. Makes friends there.
Love
and
that.
And it's, you know, and it's good for them, and he loves it too. And again, it's just like, you know, human connection.
Yeah.
And finding it in sort of all sorts of places. Getting a dog, apparently very good, isn't it, Vicky?
It's very good.
Yeah.
I met a lovely old couple recently in the park. I've seen them a few times. And one time I just sat down, there was nowhere else to sit but to sit with them. So me and my dog Buddy went off to sit with them, and I ended up hearing all about their love story and how they've been married for 50 years and lessons in love. And I was telling them about how, you know, dating is very different now compared to when they were dating. And it was just like, had such a lovely afternoon of just spending time with this old couple in the park. And quite often I'll meet new people in the park just because I've got a dog and it is easier. You do end up just, you know, stopping and chatting. And I definitely feel more of a sense of community in Dalston now than ever before because I have a dog.
I do also think, just going back to what you were saying before about the self-love, because I'm just thinking about, you know, it's quite natural for you to go out there and meet and attract lovely people. But I think the more that we practice self-love and heal our relationship with ourselves and make sure we have a healthy relationship with ourselves, the more we will attract and make space for other people who you can have healthy friendships with. Because I think if you are finding yourself with quite toxic friendships, demanding friendships, friends that don't make you feel good. And I had that at one point in my life, and I had to literally walk away from not just one person, an entire social group of friends I spent most of my, you know, going out time with. And it was really tied up with my own relationship with myself. And it was a real act of self-love and self-care to walk away and go, you're not treating me right. This is not okay. And I think, so if you do recognize, you're like, I have a lot of people who just seem to be using me and not giving me much back, then there's definitely, you know, it might be that these are friends to let go off that pontoon. Just gently have to cut them off. But I think really focus on your own relationship with yourself and your own self-love and self-care. And the more you do that, the more you will not be willing to put up with crappy relationships with other people, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships. And the more you will attract in people naturally who will offer healthy relationship and healthy friendship. And when you get that, when you get that kind of sisterhood, that kind of friendship, and it can be with men as well, it doesn't have to just be women, but that's when you really start to experience having a family that you've chosen that really has your back and really helps you to grow and achieve your dreams and, you know, cheer you on and make you feel loved and respected. And there's nothing better than that. That's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
It's a really beautiful quote. It says, friendship is the most underrated relationship in our lives. It remains the one relation not bound by law, blood or money, but an outspoken agreement of love.
Oh, wow. That is so good. So, yeah, come and join us on Instagram to carry on this conversation. Let us know what you thought of this podcast, what really resonated with you, any further thoughts you have on friendship and how to find new friends, how to break up with friends that aren't good for you anymore, and the power that sisterhood and friendship has had in your life. So yeah, head over to Love Project Love and we will be there chatting with you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever.